The texts that I want to look at today are really the first reading that we have and the gospel reading, and tie those things together and give us an idea of how the Lord actually wants and is and will meet your needs. Wonderful gifts and blessings that the Lord gives us. I found this story, and I believe it to be true, but let me just share it with you. Have you guys heard of a person named Niccolo Paganini? That name sound familiar? Some people have heard of Paganini, I would bet. Yeah, great violinist. Well, here's he was amazing, and he was quite a violinist, and he was playing at a concert, and as he's playing at this concert, he's doing his part, playing his lead. His string breaks, and when the string breaks, he doesn't stop. He just keeps playing the piece. And as he's playing a little bit more, another string breaks. And again, he doesn't stop. He just keeps playing the piece. But you can imagine he's got two strings now, and this is not easy stuff to play to begin with. And as the concert goes on, guess what? He breaks another string. So he is left with one string, and he's playing through the piece, and at the end, he actually did it. He survived, and the thunderous applause came up, and people were just amazed because, you know, they can see the strings hanging there, and he holds it up, and he says, "Paganini on one string." And the reason why I use that story is not to lift up Paganini or put him forth as a role model. He wouldn't be that great of a role model, actually. But the point is, what he did was, when he was left with a very difficult situation, which obviously would have been impossible for most people, for most musicians. I mean, that would have been, I can't imagine on the guitar, it would be absolutely impossible how your fingers would be moving, how your brain could be working like that. The point is, he had two things he could have concentrated on at that point in time. He could have concentrated on the broken strings, or he could have concentrated on the one string that he had. And he made the choice to concentrate on the one string he had, and not the broken strings. And what happens in our lives, what I've seen from human beings and what I've seen from people and myself as well, we tend to concentrate on what's broken. We tend to concentrate and be fixated on the broken strings in our lives and the broken strings that are happening that are all around us. And that's what we look at. That's what we see. And what this story about the widow in the Old Testament and the widow in the New Testament, what these two stories are telling me, here are two people that did not become overwhelmed by the broken strings in their lives. And a broken string is not necessarily to the degree that you would see in these stories. They're very extreme cases, and I want to share a little bit of how extreme they were. A broken string in our lives would be some of the stresses and the anxieties that you would face. You know, what, during the average day, what just raises your blood pressure? What gets you upset? You know, what causes you to worry and stress? And I realize sometimes these things are totally irrational. And if you shared them with someone else, they would make no sense. As a matter of fact, you don't want to share them with someone else because you think they would think you're pretty weird. They wouldn't understand. You'd be embarrassed. And so we keep these things to ourselves. And yet they are where our strings, for all intents and purposes, are busted. We don't feel that things are good. We're not confident. We're not, you know, you just have this idea that you're stressed, your anxiety, you can feel the fear, you can feel the lack of control, all sorts of things that are in your life. And that is normal. That's what happens. That happens from time to time. It happens probably more often than we might think. And with these ladies that were in our Old Testament reading and the New Testament reading, you know, one thing that's really important is that, and in your outline, the very first point on there, which is huge, is God noticed their needs. You see, it doesn't matter how small the stress or the difficulty or whatever you're dealing with relationally, emotionally, financially, it doesn't matter what it is. God sees the need. God absolutely sees the need that is there, and he wants to deal with it. It's crystal clear to him. And New Testament reading that we had with this lady who's giving money, what really amazed me is if you think about it, where is Jesus at that time? Now, see, there's a lot of places he could have been, right? There's a lot of places he could have been that day. But he chose, in formulating his day and organizing where he was going to be and what he wanted to do, he wanted to be in the exact place where he needed to be, where at the exact time he would be standing up at a point where he could point out where this woman was and what she was doing. And I don't think that was coincidental at all. I don't think the Lord lived like that. He was God and walking around. He had a plan, he had a purpose, and he knew what that plan and purpose was. And he saw that lady, and he wanted to point that lady out. He wanted us to know that it doesn't matter what's going on, doesn't matter how alone you might feel, God actually notices and he sees the need. He saw that need. And it was the same thing with the widow. You know, an amazing word, if you look on just the back of your bulletin there's an amazing thing. It might have skipped your gaze as you were hearing it read or looking at it being read. Look in verse 9, right about almost to the end of verse 9. There's three words there. I have commanded. Isn't that interesting? Do you think the widow was any aware that she had been commanded? She didn't know. Elijah didn't know. But God looked, saw the need, knew what it was, and this is actually way out of his sphere of ministry, too. I mean, this is not where he would normally minister. And he saw the need, God saw it, and said, I'm going to take care of that. And he wanted to minister to that. His heart went out. Why did he do it? Why did he notice these needs, I wonder? I think the second point in there is really important, and it's very important for us to grasp this because it's how God works. You see, God also noticed their faith. He noticed that they trusted God. What I mean by that is, let's look at the widow. We use the two mites, these two copper coins. Well, I looked that up to see exactly how much money that was, to give you an idea of what this lady was living on. So the way it would go is, let's say you have somebody that's making 20 bucks an hour, right? So you have a worker making $20 an hour. You can do the math in your mind of how much money that would be and how much money they would make per day, per week. Okay, when you do the math based on a calculation such as that, to bring it into more modern day situations, she gave $2.50. That's how much money she had. She had $2.50 to live on. That was the last. The Lord says, he says, that's all the money she's got. She's got nothing else. So, I mean, that really puts it in perspective for me. My goodness. This is a lady that had, she was down to one string, literally. I mean, this is it. And she, that's all she has. She doesn't have anything else. She has $2.50 left. And she thinks, in faith, in trust in God, she says, look, I don't have anybody. And they don't have Social Security. They don't have pension funds. They don't have anything like that back in those days. And in a lot of parts of the world, they still don't. It's just, you live on what you live on. And she takes that $2.50 and she says, I got no place else to give this. I'm going to give it to the best place I can. I'm going to give it to God. Because God can give it back to me. And who knows? What would be fascinating to know, because we're not there, but maybe she had even read this story about the widow that Elijah ministered to. You don't know. God's an amazing God, and he'll direct us and lead us in the Word of God and create faith by means of that. But I see that this lady had great faith, and this lady really, really trusted God. And so she was willing in that situation to say, I'm going to put my faith in you. I'm going to put my very substance, all that I have to live on, and I'm going to give this to you, God, because there's nobody else. You're it, and I want you to supply. And when you think of the widow, you think of the lady that was that Elijah went and ministered to. That you might not know the background of that situation, but what's going on is there's a terrible drought in the land, really, really bad. And the difference is, it's not like here in the States where we can go to Walmart and you know, other stores, Meijer, or something like that, and you literally have aisles and aisles of food because we can truck it in, we can bring it by plane, we do all sorts of stuff. We have great commerce and stuff. In those days, in that area, and still in some places in the world, you don't have that opportunity. You basically grow, and maybe you guys can think back to your grandparents, great-grandparents, where they literally lived on what they grew. You know, I mean, if crops don't come in, if the farm doesn't work, if there's issue or that issue, something comes up, they're in deep trouble. You think of, have you ever read those Little House on the Prairie books or something? You know, I mean, it was serious stuff. And this is what they're dealing with. They cannot go down to the store, they cannot go elsewhere, and they cannot buy what they need. If they don't have it locally, they can't get it because they don't have grain, so they can't feed the beasts of burden, they can't go get the food, so it's very difficult for them. They're at the point where it is getting to the end, and they are not going to survive. And this lady then is going out to pick up sticks. Why? To make her final meal. So she's going to make the last little bit. She's got a little bit of flour, a little bit of oil. She's going to gather up the sticks. She's going to use that to make a fire. And then they would make the bread. They'd put it on a stone, and they'd make pita bread out of it. We're done. And I'm watching my son die. And this is her life. This is what she's looking at. You know, and what she does something that I think I do, and I think other people do too. I think it's really normal when we're in situations where we're down on one string, we're worried, we're maybe a little bit frustrated, whatever it might be. In those times, we do things that she did, and we sometimes don't even realize we're doing it. But you can see in her conversation, when she talks with the prophet, she says, I'm going to eat this food and die. She thought her problems were unsolvable. She believed that they were unsolvable. When she looked at life, she said, there's no solution for this. I can't figure this out. And because I can't figure this out, there's no solution. And people oftentimes will look at the situation, they'll look more at the negative side of it, they'll look at the broken strings, and they'll think that the situation is unsolvable. Not true. God notices the need. He sees the need. And he responds to faith. He responds to faith, the Bible tells us. He does, absolutely. And that's what he wants us to do. He wants us to trust him. And so we feel the problems are unsolvable. Absolutely not in God's economy. It's never. He's never broke. He's never worried. He's never stressed. He's God. And I'm glad he can be like that. And another thing that we do, we not only think our problems are unsolvable, but we also have the same feelings that she did. She was afraid. And she confessed it. She said, you know, I'm scared. I don't know what's going to happen. Very normal response. And oftentimes when people, you know, when situations are uncontrollable, when we're dealing with people or issues that are just, you know, beyond, we can't deal with the situation, whatever the issue might be, whatever the problem might be, whatever is bothering you, there is fear that comes in because we worry and we stress about it. And it's tough for us. But in those situations, God comes in. And he is already in the situation. There's a verse in here in the outline. I want to share with you. It's a beautiful verse. It's from 2 Chronicles 16:9. And it goes like this. It says, for the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. So who is it that he's talking about? What sort of people is he talking about in that verse? Because he's speaking to the people that God responded to. He's speaking to the people that God really showed up and did a miracle. I think a lot of times, the reason why we don't see God moving as much in our lives and we don't see God moving as much in our church and in our churches is because our eyes are just simply not on him. We're just simply not trusting. We're not casting our cares and our burdens upon him. And he wants to respond. He does respond. He does help us. God is not unloving. He is not uncaring. He is not unkind. But he responds in faith. And he wants us to trust him. Doesn't matter how small it is. If it bothers you, it bothers him. And he wants to minister to our needs. He is a gracious and loving and kind God. And he wants us to explore that. And the way that we know we're exploring it comes to us from this verse itself in the Old Testament. Because it says, fully committed to him. Now, when you look at the root of that word, fully committed to him, in Hebrew, it's the root of the word shalom. And you probably know what shalom means. It means peace. And so what he's saying is, he's saying the eyes search to and fro the earth. They're searching all over the place, everywhere in the world. And what's he looking for? He's looking for people who are just saying, "Peace, God. I'm good. I trust you. I'm at peace with you. I might not be at peace with the surroundings." There's no sense in being, you know, foolish and denying the difficulty or the trial that you're going through. That's not what he's talking about. It's not like La La Land where you just pretend it's not there. And, you know, no. What you're doing is you're replacing it with faith, and you're saying, "God, you are able to minister to this need, even if I can't see it." Because in God's economy, he works very differently than we do. The way that God works is believing is seeing. See, when you believe, you actually see. And he responds to that. He wants us to trust. And the core of that and the fruit of that is when you just say, "Lord, at peace. Shalom. I'm at shalom with you." The world might not be, and the world never is going to be. It just takes us one simple glance at the world, and we look at our lives, we look at how things are going. They're never going to reach shalom. But through Jesus Christ, we already have. And God's saying, "Do you believe that?" And that faith is huge. That faith is gold. And that faith means more to the Lord than anything else on this earth. That is actually his gift. And that's what he means by commanded. He commanded because he knew this lady in the Old Testament had a gift of faith that God had granted her, and she just walked in it. May God bless us and help us as we walk in that faith, in that glorious relationship that we have with God through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.